Well, good morning, everybody. So this month we're focusing on the theme of hope, if you haven't noticed. If you can't pass that eye test, you're in trouble. So hope is a feeling of expectation that something's going to happen. And as Christians, we're supposed to be people of hope because we serve the God of all hope. See, hope is something that should set us apart from the rest of the world. Hope is something that we should carry with us wherever we go. Why? Because we serve a mighty God. And he's a mighty God that loves us dearly. We're his kids, he's going to look after us. We live in a world that loves to doom and gloom. Watch the news for 5 minutes, you'll see that pretty quick. Spend some time out and about, you'll see people just love to complain. But when we get in these modes of complaining, does that lift others up? Does it bring them closer to Jesus? Or does it just spread despair? See, as Christians, we're not supposed to be complainers. No, we're people of hope. We're people that spread hope. We're people that bring joy by spreading hope. If you ever find yourself in the mode of doom and gloom, you have to speak to yourself like the writer of Psalm 42. It says in this very famous verse, Psalm 42:5, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why this unease within me?" Speaking to himself here, he says, "Put your hope in God, for I shall praise him for the salvation of his presence." The psalmist is reminding themselves not to get down, don't allow themselves to get caught in this mode of unease, but instead look to God. Because as he's saying, "For praise him for the salvation of his presence," the second God shows up, there's salvation. Second he shows up, situations change. The Bible's full of incredible stories about God coming to the rescue again and again. And today we're going to read one of my favorite passages from Isaiah. And a lot of his writing is actually really artistic and full of metaphors, and I really like that. And so the context of this passage, so Isaiah is writing at a time where Israel hasn't been following God's teaching for quite some time. For the most part anyway, there's a few faithful people around. It's become a fractured nation. Most of the nation actually has already been conquered by invading armies, and there's only a small bit left that's free. But Isaiah is saying this freedom's going to end pretty quick here. You're living in sin, you're not following God, and things are actually just going to get worse. But he says, "But those of you that have remained faithful to God, don't worry, he's going to come to our rescue." And actually, good portions of Isaiah are hundreds of years before are actually referencing the coming of Jesus, which is pretty amazing. So we're going to read Isaiah 59, or a portion of Isaiah 59. And at first you'll see he's setting the scene of how bad things have gotten. And then he'll switch, and I'm going to read this in two different parts, of how the Lord is going to be intervening. And I think this can relate to us because as a province, as a region even, we're not in the best shape. We've taken a few kicks to the head here, a few licks. There's quite a bit of hurt and pain within the congregation. A lot of us have been in some valleys here. And so I think we can relate to Israel in all sorts of different ways. So starting here at verse 9, it says, "So there is no justice among us, and we know nothing about right living. We look for light, but find only darkness. We look for bright skies, but walk in gloom. We grope like the blind along a wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. Even at the brightest noontime, we stumble as though it were dark. Among the living, we are like the dead. We growl like hungry bears. We moan like mournful doves. We look for justice, but it never comes. We look for rescue, but it is far away from us. For our sins are piled up before God and testify against us. Yes, we know what sinners we are. We know we have rebelled and have denied the Lord. We have turned our backs on God. We know how unfair and oppressive we have been, carefully planning our deceitful lies. Our courts oppose the righteous, and justice is nowhere to be found. Truth stumbles in the streets, and honesty has been outlawed. Yes, truth is gone, and anyone who renounces evil is attacked." So a few things we can learn this morning just from that first portion. So number one, the situation may be dire. So this passage says that things weren't going right. It was a gloomy time. And in fact, there's not even a sliver of light. There's no hope. Just doom and gloom all over the place. And it uses the metaphor of being blind. It's like we can't even see what's coming. We've lost any sense of direction. We've lost any sense of purpose. I've lost the passion, been lulled into this inaction. People were in lack. It's hard to get food on the tables. And I think the worst part that would really be tormenting is that they're surrounded by the consequences of their sin. They have this constant reminder that things aren't right. And it's just staring them back in the face just continually as their whole lives are in disarray. So even their court system is a complete mess. It's like people didn't know what was right from wrong anymore. And worst part is if you actually tried to stand up for what was right, and you can actually sometimes see this in today's society, you stand up for what's right, and then you end up being the person who's attacked and said, no, 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 you're wrong. So that's pretty backward. And, you know, that's one of the things we can relate to, but also, yes, our economy is in some trouble, the same as theirs would be. You could even say our governments have made some similar head-scratching decisions. We can say in all sorts of different aspects of culture, wrong has been made right. And again, we can be constantly reminded that things aren't going so well. We're inundated with bad news continually, not just from the media, but just out and about, you'll hear, oh, so-and-so lost their job, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It just have all these constant reminders of this pain staring right back at us. And even as a church, we've been hit hard, struggling financially, and you know, some people have left and stuff like that. And so we're in this situation where it feels like we're in a bit of a valley here, but we can't lose sight of hope. Never can we lose sight of hope. And again, it's because we serve a mighty God. Brings us to point number two. Not only is he mighty, but he knows what's going on, and he's going to intervene. We see in verse 15 from Isaiah 59. The Lord looked and was displeased to find there was no justice. He was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So the Lord's always very aware of the situation. He wasn't happy about what was going on any more than they were. And similarly, in our situation, in this province, in this region, God knows what's going on, and he's not happy about it any more than we are. But lucky for us is that we serve a God that intervened. We serve a God that's going to come to the rescue. That brings us to point number three here. How exactly does God step in? What does that look like? And this is the part that's going to bring some hope here. Verses 16 to 19 of Isaiah 59. So, talking about God here. So he himself stepped in to save them with his strong arm, and his justice sustained him. He put on righteousness as his body armor and placed the helmet of salvation on his head. He clothed himself with a robe of vengeance and wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. He will repay his enemies for their evil deeds. His fury will fall on his foes. He will pay them back even to the ends of the earth. In the west, people will respect the name of the Lord. In the east, they will glorify him, for he will come like a raging flood tide driven by the breath of the Lord. Very powerful passage there. So there's a few things I'm just going to pull out of here. So if this is the way that God shows up on the scene, what can we gather from this? What can we learn? So first things first, when God shows up, he brings his power. See, we need the power first and foremost because we can get ourselves in some powerful problems. We can get ourselves in some powerful messes. And the first thing that we need to know is that God is able, that God is bigger than, that he's more powerful than our problems. We need to know that he is more than up to the task of rescuing us. We need to know that he's got what it takes. And that alone should bring us hope, knowing that we serve an all-powerful God. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. And there's so many other reasons we have to hope in our God. Also from this passage, we can see when God shows up, he brings justice. So if you have been wronged, he makes it right. He lifts people up and he treats them the way that they should be treated. He brings value to each one of his children's lives. And with justice comes recompense. Our God is a God of restoration and reconciliation. He makes the enemy pay for what he's taken. He takes back what has been stolen and then blesses us even more than we deserve. We serve a God that makes sure that good triumphs over evil in the end. When God shows up to our rescue, he also brings righteousness. God inspires people to live right, to uphold his morals and his standards. We could use an increase in that in these days, couldn't we? See, when God moves, people begin to take notice and they begin to follow him. They begin to take up his ways. They begin to walk in his statutes. Also, when God shows up on the scene, he brings salvation. God begins to move and people can't just, they just can't help it but fall on their knees and embrace him as their savior. They see his power. They see his justice. They see his righteousness. And they're inspired to make him their Lord. If that isn't enough to make the enemy quake in his boots, when God comes to turn a situation around, he brings vengeance. See, God being a God of justice, he doesn't just let the enemy get away with causing all the pain that he's done. He makes the enemy pay, and the enemy doesn't get away with anything. God is our great defender, and he doesn't like it when people are messing with his kids. So God steps in, and he lays a beating on the enemy. See, the enemy has stolen even from this very family. People have lost their jobs. Relationships have been torn apart. And let me tell you, the devil will get his due. Of that I am sure. And he's going to be very sorry that he messed with this family. And we can take comfort in the fact that justice is going to be served. We can take comfort in the fact that vengeance will be the Lord's. Furthermore, when God shows up on the scene, he brings divine passion. This is a passion that is from God, a passion for the things of God, an enthusiasm, an eagerness, a vigor, a ferventness, a zeal, a desire to serve God, a longing to come alongside what God is doing. We can take hope from the fact that when God pulls us from this pit, we're going to see a reawakening of passion from God and a passion for the things of God. We're going to see a new move of volunteerism, a new move of here I am, send me, a new move of what would you have me do, God? A new move of speak, God, your servant is listening. Furthermore, when God comes, he brings his glory. And that's a pretty easy one to see because if you're thinking of all these reasons to praise him, there's so many. See, if he's bringing power, his justice, righteousness, salvation, of course that's going to bring glory to his name. And it's going to be so obvious that God is at work. And there's just going to be, so many reasons to praise him. Because that song says 10,000 reasons, more than we could sit here and number off. And finally, I think the best part is when God intervenes, he brings his presence. And as the word says, where the presence of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is joy. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is victory. Where the presence of the Lord is, the enemy can't stand to be. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is healing. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is deliverance. And where the presence of the Lord is, there is everything that we need. So we're going to end the service just a little bit differently. And so I'll have the worship team come back up. And I was feeling as I was preparing that we need to go out on a high note. The phrase that came to me is we need a Holy Ghost hope injection. And I feel like if we're going to reach this community for God, we need to be these people of hope, people that just ooze hope out of them, people that are excited of what's to come, people who have their trust in God, people that know what's coming next, and they know what's coming next is good. They know what's coming next is in God's hands, and we're going to be okay. And that we can have these people who have this, live in this way, that they're on this firm foundation of Jesus, and that's going to be a testimony in this region. And I feel like this morning we need to shift some things in the supernatural realm. You may have come in here down in the dumps, part of the doom and gloom squad, but today I feel we're going to shoot for a hope injection. We're going to shoot for this change in thinking, this change in the atmosphere. And I believe this can emanate right out of this congregation into the community. So we're going to declare hope into our lives. And how we're going to do that, if you can just stand to your feet, and I'm going to pray over you. Essentially, the points of the message here. God, we know that this situation has been dire. We know that we've taken a beating. We've been pressed from every side, but we're not crushed. And we're not going to give in to despair. We're going to hold on to hope. God, we declare that you're coming to rescue us in power. God, we declare that you're bringing justice to our situation. God, we declare that righteousness is going to invade this area. God, we declare that a multitude of salvations are coming our way. God, we declare that you will take vengeance on the enemy and you will take back what's been stolen from us. God, we declare that divine passion is going to explode in this area like never before seen or heard. God, we declare that your glory is going to come fall in this place, and it will be obvious to many that you are on the move. God, we declare that your presence is going to invade this place. And this morning, we declare that we're going to be people of hope. Amen? Let's sing.